Salt Lake City, Utah. Bonsoir. How are you doing tonight, folks? The snow-covered streets of Trolley Square, is that where we are? And the beautifully refurbished Wise Guys Comedy Club, Harmontown, is now officially in session. Would you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown? You know him. You might love him. Dan Harmon!
Salt. Take some chloride. Take some sodium. Salt. You guys love salt, right? Everyone loves salt? I was like, okay, there's a guy holding a sign in the audience that says, Utah, 1922, never forget. Which I think is like a deep cut reference to our podcast, right? Like, we were making up tragedies at one point.
And we got another one over here. 65,000, Utah, you know what you did.
You know what? All right.
Well, I don't even remember the reference now. Yeah, because you're completely in shadow. Right. Find your light, Harmon.
All right. The camera guys want me to move back a little bit.
Come back a little more.
So that I can make their job of capturing reality a little more artificial. Sorry, my humanity wasn't marketable enough for you, Michelle Gondry.
So what was the joke?
You know, I would have done a show standing in a big shadow. Now we'll never know what that would have been. I probably would have talked to this guy. He probably has cancer or something. Now I can't. Everything's fucked up now. But they got their shot, Jeff. They're painting with light. Fucking directors. Salt Lake City like is about humanity. It's not about film. You know? I understand there's people here who fled Sundance to get here, right? I heard about your vests, your matching vests and your beards and your Sundance vests. Like you know, Colorado. Fuck Colorado, right? That's where Denver is? Is that where Sundance is? Where's Sundance?
It's in Colorado.
Okay. It's up that canyon?
Oh.
It's in Utah.
Really?
All right. Look, Utah's great. Sundance is okay. Salt Lake City is the best city in the world. We know that. And salt is the best condiment, seasoning, whatever you call it. I know there's that, like people here, Jeff, they don't like salt being referred to as a seasoning. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
They're offended by that, the way that some deaf people don't like cochlear implants. You know, it's like the idea in Salt Lake City is that salt is a meal itself, and that. You use potatoes and steak and stuff to make the salt go down better. It's a real thing here, you know. This is the salt capital of the world. Their roads get real icy and their potatoes get real bland. And they eat the salt. It's also the complex drinking law capital of the world.
Wrong cue. Complex, do it again. It's also the what, Dan?
Complex drinking law corner segment.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Utah, home of the weirdest drinking laws in the world.
You don't know them. You gotta memorize them.
We've been here for 3 hours and we've learned 1/10 of the fucking wild ass liquor laws.
Complex drinking laws. Let me explain them. Jeff, you can't have a double here.
A double drink?
You can't have a double drink.
Why not?
There is no why. That is the because. You can't. You. It doesn't matter why not. There was a. But I'll tell you. Brigham Young. He had huge hands. So and he was very very ashamed about them. He was a wood carver and a philanthropist and a brilliant man. But he had these giant hands. And so they made special big glasses for him to make him feel like his hands were smaller.
That was the original BY and BYOB. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah. Big.
Brigham Young's own bottle.
Yeah. Because they the whole city had to kind of arrange itself around Brigham Young's deformed hands. And so people were people would wear like prosthetic giant hands. Like that's where those foam number one hands come from. It's like but just to make him feel better because he was a great man. He founded a great city and he loved salt and he ate so much salt, Jeff, that he retained water in his hands, I think is what. Have you ever heard the expression "mad as a hatter"? You know that's from the lead lining in haberdasheries.
Yeah. Mercury lining.
There's an expression here called hands the size of Brigham Young.
Yeah.
So he had special giant glasses that they would get out for him. If you ordered a double here in 1828, when Brigham Young was here, you could die. Like everyone was drinking out of extra large glasses. So that's why no doubles. But it doesn't matter. It's in honor of temperance.
And that's why the foam hands only hold up one finger. I'll have one.
Yes. Yeah. I'll have a single.
Give me.
You want one drink or you want two?
I don't want two enormous Brigham Young-sized drinks.
We don't do doubles, said the bartender at the Marriott Hotel. I love something really weird about that, too. Like when you're at a Marriott Hotel, like a... I'm pretty sure Marriott as a hotel chain probably has more hotels than there are people in certain cities in the United States. Like as a corporation, it's practically a country. And it's like I don't know what's ironic about that, but something is. Like it's like you just work as you work at a Marriott. Fucking give me the Marriott goods. Like what if Utah said I couldn't sleep in a bed, would there be no beds in the Marriott? What's in charge here? Does the money walk or the bullshit talk? You know.
I walked into the bar at the Marriott and a nice young lady said, "Sir, I need to scan your ID." I'm like, "Okay, that's I've never seen that ever." And she took it and then she wrote down every bit of information off of my ID, and then she put it in a thing and it came out shredded and then she said, "Go fuck yourself."
I thought that was a crazy lady thing. Is that a Utah thing or is that a crazy lady thing? That's a Utah thing? Maybe crazy ladies are a Utah thing. Maybe lithium's a salt, right? It's all coming together.
But also, we were just told that you're not allowed to, in this restaurant, you're not allowed to be walking around with your drink. You have to be seated and eating like chicken wings to have
it. Yeah, we broke the law coming up here. We called 911 before we came up. We had to somehow get it. That's right. You'll notice there's an elaborate trolley system along the walls, like in Mr. Rogers' house, because the wait staff is not allowed to walk while holding liquor. So there's a little choo-choo train that comes by, and they have to pretend that they're here to catch a train. And then they go, "Oh, I'm holding a beer." And then they go, "I think this is yours." And they have to go through so much, and they have to wash their hands too. On top of it all,
yeah. Like if you the only way to get around it is to be in a wheelchair and have a plate of food in your lap, and then you can cruise around, with a drink.
It's complicated. Complicated here.
Are there some other liquor laws that we don't know about?
There's a lot. I work in a bar.
What's your name, sir?
Okay, well, let's bring Deuce up because of his awesome name and his expertise and his.
Hello, Deuce.
Deuce is wearing a crisis alert T-shirt from Community.
I am.
Awesome. So, Deuce, you work in the liquor industry.
here in the
city that invented complicated liquor laws. So let's run down some of the more weird.
So like this. This is considered a restaurant. So you have to have food to get a beverage. In a bar, you can get beverage by itself. You can't have a double, but you can have two different kinds of liquor in front of you. So you can order a tequila and a rum. That's fine, but
can
not
I order
rums.
Two tequilas? No, I
no,
can't.
No.
Okay.
But you can get tequila and a rum.
Because they saw Five Easy Pieces, and they're like, okay, we're not going to let a Jack Nicholson figure go. Like, I'd like, give me two tequilas then, and I'll, ooh, look what I'm doing. Like, they figured
that
out.
You can hold
right
the ice between your knees.
Yeah. Okay, so if I have food in a restaurant, can I have a double?
No, nope, still can't.
I can never have a double,
You can never have a double, unless you're at home.
I could, but I was at Subway at a Utah gas station, and I got double meat on my. That's a stupid comment. all right, well, give us another one. Is there? Was there something?
Let's see. You can only have 2 ounces of liquor in a drink. So
right.
Even if it's like a Long Island, which has all kinds of different liquors, you can still only have 2 ounces worth of alcohol.
Oh, total?
Total.
Oh,
total.
So if you order a Long Island iced tea and you...
It's bullshit.
Like, does it come in a Dixie cup? Or?
Usually, yeah. Comes in plastic here.
All right. Well, let me instead of just asking you to list the stuff off, here, let's just do an exercise.
Okay.
You be a bartender, I'll be a customer. Oh, what a rough day of being an American citizen that's supposedly allowed to do whatever the fuck I want to do. And having to put up with an ownership class of rich people that have 1% of whatever the 99% thing flam plam. I'm so stressed out, I would like to numb my brain with a legal substance that makes everyone around me smarter for a couple hours, a couple blessed fucking hours. Can I please have a Kettle One on the rocks with no lime? And so the answer is yes, but then
yes, sir.
Then you fill the glass with ice,
filling it up.
And you fill it up. Like I've noticed,
it's a thimbleful.
It's 1 ounce of okay. Right, so I get it, and I go, okay, I'm gonna slide this $5 bill across the table.
Oh my!
Hey, can I? Why don't you make it a double if we're gonna be, you know, if we're gonna be this way?
Then I'd look around, see if the DABC was in the house, and then I go.
Is he a rapper?
Yeah.
No, what? That's the beverage council or whatever.
Yeah, Department of Alcohol Beverage. It's ridiculous because they actually send spies in a lot to us.
Right, secret drinkers.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. Lots of underage kids being like, "Come on, man, here's $20. Let me in the bar."
Right. Well, that's everywhere.
And underage. Then does an Irish guy walk in and go, "Ah, we're shutting you down, Deuce."
Oh, my God.
We're shutting you down.
Jesus Christ, Jeff, you know who would hate it in Salt Lake City? Fucking Jerry McSeinfeld.
Jerry McSeinfeld!
Stay here, dude. Stay here.
Oh, I'm Jerry McSeinfeld. I'm an Irish Jerry Seinfeld. I'm famous for me observational material and me Irish heritage. So you can imagine I'm quite puzzled by the state of affairs in your little burg. Why can't I have a double? We've been over that. I'm Jerry McSeinfeld. Why is it so snowy outside? And why, in such an inhospitable climate, would you want to make it even harder to drink? What's happening? Why do you want people to move away so bad? Is that why you're always closing all the roads so we can't escape?
Aye, sir. That's the exact
reason. Oh, my God. It's me.
Irish Tim Allen.
It's Irish Tim Allen. Irish Tim Allen, what did you do today?
Arr, we went on tool time, sir. Talk to me neighbor Wilson.
Well, he's
well,
a little,
he became a pirate.
He's a little Scottish. He's a... Irish Tim Allen is a pirate. It's fine. Don't judge. Don't judge Salt Lake City. You live on a salt lake. Oh, why is it a salt lake? What? Why would you want to put salt in a lake? The worst place for it.
Oh, sir, I fixed that with me tool time supplies.
Oh, I'm Irish Seinfeld, and he's Irish Tim Allen.
All right, thank you, Deuce.
Deuce, everybody.
I thought that Irish Seinfeld would have a lot more material here in Salt Lake City, but he actually doesn't. He actually this is the city that puts me and Irish Seinfeld on the same page, because he's like, why can't you have a double? That's it. Right? Why can't you have a double? Just put a billboard outside as you enter the. Is that a statewide thing or a city thing?
Statewide.
Okay, so as you cross the border into Utah, just put up a big billboard that says, not you can't have a double. Say, why can't you have a double? And then the answer underneath it will say, because we love you. And like have a black lady with a baby. Something to like
is
make
there,
it.
Is there anybody here that's from Utah that still manages to get drunk occasionally? Like, is there anybody here that's a drinker? Like, does it keep you from getting drunk? Does those laws?
Oh, I imagine, Jeff, that the alcoholism is rampant here. among the youth, I saw SLC Punk with Shaggy.
When I was like, I don't know, 16, 15, I think I was like 15 years old in high school, we came up to Utah from Southern California to on a ski trip. And so we went to like Park City and Snowbird or whatever the hell you got up here, Alta, whatever. Yeah, it's great. Best snow in the world. And we had no booze. We're all 16, 15-year-olds. And I was kind of a huckster. I was like a shoplifter and a bad person and a burglarizer and stuff. And so I'm like, I was commissioned to go out and get the alcohol. So I went into a hotel, and there was a really cool like little liquor store in the lobby of a hotel, but it was just like liquor, like no beers, no nothing. It was just like a really old-time like Raymond Chandler novel kind of thing, like an old hotel with a booze department in it. And they probably had like a house dick walking around, you know, like in a, like busting people. And I went to the guy, and I was skinny, little 15-year-old. I was like, "Hey, my dad's having a big party with a bunch of his asshole friends up in the room, and like they're too drunk to come down. He sent me down to buy the stuff. Here's his list." And I just put this piece of paper in front of him. He's like, "Oh, wow, that's clever thinking of him. So you need two. I just bought like just bags and bags and bags and bags of booze." And his response was, "Well, that's a good idea of your father. I never thought of sending the kid down. What a good idea."
That's good, yeah. A human shield.
I came back. I was like Alexander the Great when I came back. Right? Your trumpet's like, bah, 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 bah. It was a lot of booze.
The waiter Marcus came over to Deuce and started whispering something to him, and I thought the SWAT team was gonna come in and stop talking to them about the liquor laws. By the way, I filled up a glass of Grey Goose up here on stage. Is this like a sword swallowing act to you guys? Like. Am I like Mel Gibson and Beyond Thunderdome with the kids? Like, oh, the pocket clips. Whoa, fly, pilot man. He has a full glass of liquor in his hand. All right. I'm not man. It's not you guys. It's the fucking government. And by government, we mean the ghosts of, like, weird... it's got to be like some guy in the 1800s was like, well, they can't have doubles because every time I have a double, I know I want to rape people. Because I'm a vile person that makes laws, and I make them because I ask myself, what would I like to do today if I could do anything I wanted to do? Well, I'd eat that little girl, and I'd own those black people, and you know, and I'd hit them when they did something wrong, and I'd clobber my wife over the head with a shovel and like bury her in the backyard. We got to start like making laws against this stuff. Because they're making the mistake of going, oh, everyone's a vile old prick in the world. And it's just, that's the problem. That's why we have to figure out, Jeff, the Constitution for Harmontown. And it has to be like a little piece of code. It has to just be a very simple, got to figure it out before we get back to L.A.
I think it's do what you want.
It is do what you, it's everyone gets to do what they want.
But you got to say it like that. It's Jeremy Kramer's old bit. Do what you want. It's like the mafia.
Everyone gets to do whatever they want unless it interferes with someone else's ability to do whatever they want. ... I don't know what to put in there.
I don't know. Like,
and if two people both want to do something and they can't both do it without one of them having to do something they don't want or not getting to do whatever they want, then you engage in a ritual called patty cake.
Well, I think, like, you know, back in the old days, like, manners were, like, there was a high premium on courtesy, and, you know, like, people opened doors for each other, and people, like helped old ladies across the street and put cloaks over puddles and stuff like that. I don't know if they really did. That might just be in a book. But maybe they just had more cloaks back then. They didn't care as much. But now, like, as we've evolved technologically and we evolve as a species, courtesy seems just to be something that it's just dying. It's like devolving. Well, because the whole thing comes down to, I want to do this, but I want to smoke a cigarette, but these people might not want it. And someone walks over and politely goes, "Hey, man, could you not smoke a cigarette? You know, I'm sorry. Like, I'll take it outside." Have a human conversation about it. Like, be adults. Have some common courtesy is my thing.
Yeah, but then there's this rise of the passive aggressive like mutant, you know, like somebody who's cool but is always getting what they want, like leveraging people socially. Like, you have to protect against, you know.
Then you tell that person you're being a dick. Shut up.
Well, you know, and then that person can also say you're being a dick for not giving. But it's like there needs to be a little bit of a foolproof. Like, I understand the whole idea is be cool. Here's my theory. There's got to be a way to back the dollar with human life instead of like a mythical piece of gold in Fort Knox or a stock or a, or the dollar itself or pride in your country. If you were able to back a nation's currency, like, because currency is going to be useful still for a little while. We can't all become hippies and run around and kiss gazelle or something. Like, we got a good 100 years left of still needing poker chips to get through our day, like to make transactions. I say, though, you can back that currency with, like, it's like a video game. Like, when you're playing a video game, there are video games where you're, like, walking down the street, and then there's, like, a thing that goes, someone needs help, and then you go and help them, and then you get some bonus points. And they're actual points that you can use to get a bigger gun and blow the fuck out of something. Like, it's like shit that you can use to make yourself cooler. At the very least, when you show up, because I've discussed this before. I'm just saying, like if I'm walking down the street and there's a guy laying on the sidewalk in a puddle of his own piss and he's going like, I had a bad day today, can you help me out? My reason for not stopping and having a conversation with him and seeing how I can help him is I'm late for lunch. I got shit to do. I got a script to finish. I got all this stuff to do. So, and the reason I got to finish my script or be on time to lunch with my friend, all that stuff just has to do with capitalism, really. It just has to do with like okay, I'll end up like him if I help him. I'll end up like him if I help him. So all you have to do is reverse that and say, if I help him, the opposite. I so that when we see a guy laying in the middle of the sidewalk in a puddle of his own piss, we go, holy shit, I can't believe I found one. Like, this is like a hidden package in Grand Theft Auto. Like, I just stumbled. Do you know how rare these are? People who need my help? I'm rich. And because if I help them, then it's like I get like points. I get like a power up of some kind. And because because the whole country works that way, we're the most powerful country in the world, because all the other countries go like, oh, that country where everybody's nobody's laying on the sidewalk in their own piss. They all just, every time someone starts to have a bad day, 8 people jump on him and help him so that they can profit off of it karmically. And so everyone lives in a fucking like penthouse over there. Everyone's like floating around. And
but then you're talking about destroying capital. So then now, so if you replace helping people with capital, like the whole point is that we've got to a place where capital is the whole point. Accumulation of wealth is the definition of success. Competition is a good thing. You know, getting ahead of other people.
Yeah, but like a couple thousand years ago, the definition of poor was, you know, you lived until 25 if someone didn't come into your house, stab you in the face, and fuck the stab hole. Like, that's not what it means to be poor anymore. Now being poor means you eat a Big Mac out of a dumpster and you have a coat that someone gave you. Like you're still walking around without a house and you get fucking cold and you die sooner. But like the poverty, the definition of the 99% like keeps going up. We can increase that by a thousandfold. That's my theory. I'm no economics professor, but I don't think that capitalism yes, it means that there's like a pyramid in place and that there's a competition in place. But why can't the poorest person in the world have like a giant TV and get to play video games
but it profits none. You know, enough food goes to waste every day to feed almost everybody, and you know there's certainly enough housing and clothing for everybody. But prices have to be at a certain place. We have to make sure that rich, white, gross people control shit.
They don't have to be. It's just that's been the easy way to do it. And it's all kind of falling apart anyway. Like rich people, like there's a shorter path to like, you know, keeping poor people poor, like that's what makes sense to a rich person. But like, if you challenge them, they tend to figure well, new shit out.
The thing that bums me out is like a room like this. There's no government in here. This is the proper definition of anarchism. Meaning, there's nobody ruling anybody.
Yeah, if somebody
here
just stood up and was like, "I'm Jesus Christ, I'm gonna shit on my hand and throw it at you," no cop can help me. Like. That guy becomes in charge. He's Bane now. He's
I'm headlining at Wise Guys. Like, I'm the new Kevin Nealon.
There's a lot of Kevin Nealon pictures on the wall here.
It really is.
Kevin Nealon is there.
Is Kevin Nealon a part owner here?
Did Kevin Nealon like resuscitate a dying pregnant woman here? Was he like in the middle of his act and like a woman was like, I'm 6 months pregnant and choking on a hot wing, and he's like, excuse me, and like just brought her back to life and gave her $1,000 and then
Kevin, before you go, how can we repay you? Your thanks is enough. No, how can we repay you? Put up 400 photos of me on the wall.
Create a system of laws in my name that make it hard to drink. I am the Neelan. He's like the Stargate guy. Like he'll come back every once in a while and suppress literacy. But he gets worshipped here. Anyways, like if that, yeah, that guy, if a guy stood up and like fucking tried to choke me to death, you would be the people that helped me. You would save me, possibly. And vice versa, like we have wait staff here. We have maybe we have a bouncer here. We have, you know, these are all private anarchic roles. You need a bouncer and you need a wait person and you need a club owner and you need a performer and you need an audience, and we're not animals. We know how to fucking behave ourselves. We don't need a fucking senator to tell us like what left from right is.
But
those are the only people that don't ever do anything. It fucking confounds me how we've created a new society where bees raise their own royalty. They're just sitting there as larvae. You could fucking eat them. Like, and then these queens hatch, and then they sting the other queens to death, and then they take over, and these poor soldiers are just like, oh, thank God we have a queen again. Like, I understand the desire for comfort and leadership, but in America, the idea of that was that those people are civil servants. It's like, here, you're not wearing a crown. You're wearing a clip-on tie. Get to work, motherfucker. So I can go do the shit I enjoy. I want to be a radio DJ. I want to be a dentist. I want to dig a ditch and then like punch a clock and not worry about shit from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Some people might prefer doing that shit. None of us want to balance the budget and make the garbage trucks run on time. That's why we elect officials. The president is supposed to be a top-of-the-line fucking dipshit civil servant. He's not supposed to be someone that we cower in the presence of. And most importantly, that people like literally murder and cheat and lie and steal to try to become, because they have the most power in the world. It got all these fucking lawmakers. All right, anyway, sorry. Let's do a fart corner.
Sports corner. Hold on, I gotta cue up the music.
Fart corner offsets the political rants. Fart corner is the place where I diggity dance. Fart corner's gonna make it real. Fart.
All right, fart everybody. Corner. It's that time again.
Fart. Fart corner.
Fart corner?
Fart.
Fart corner.
Fart corner.
Get ready to get farted on by your favorite farter, Dan Harmon.
What's your name?
Dude.
What's your name?
Colton.
No, it's not. Woo! Fart corner! Sorry about the armchair politics. But when we go to the moon, I swear to God, like when we go to the moon, the first person I catch talking about me like I'm in charge gets shot.
Whoa.
Okay, I overreacted. Okay. I overreacted.
Jeez. Said the guy not in charge.
All right, we have to,
shot.
It's complicated. It's complicated. We have to work it out, but. I knew that Salt Lake City was the place to talk about this because they come face to face with the absurd hypocrisy every day. They live in a lake made of salt.
Are you guys proud of living here? Is this a place that people take pride in living in?
Well, who would say no?
Deuce is shaking his head no. Some people are like, yeah.
Yeah, but there's an elitist effect too. Like, you could ask that in Brooklyn. Like, well, that would, okay. I just like towns that aren't New York or LA. Like, we have this kind of elitist like training too, to go like, oh, I live in Denver, but I burped. I live in Denver, but I don't like it. Can I leave with you? You know, like there's places like and it's self-hatred.
I've been here a bunch of times, and I don't know anything really about this town. We last night, I don't think we really got to meet the true Denver. It's nice to we leave right after the show. We hop on, we have a couple drinks, we get on the bus, and we go to Portland.
Well, you know, Utah. I mean, there's no better way to get to know a community that you're in, Jeff, than familiarizing yourself with its active sports community.
Yeah? Well, you love sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that time again. Sports Corner! Hey, everybody. It's a lot like Roll Fart ball. Corner. It's a, lot, it's a lot like Fart Corner, but less people get farted on. He's going to fart on your favorite sports teams, Dan Harmon. Sports Corner.
Sports Corner, Utah.
All right, Dan. You've been pretty pretty vocal in the past about the Jazz. What's your problem with this team? Why do you come down so hard on them?
Jeff, defense. This is a game about defense. The Jazz needs to understand that if you're not protecting the ball, you're actively attacking it for the other team. Yeah. And that is a simple thing. Our moms told us that when we would play the Jazz's game.
Dan, do you think, I mean, he's a little older. He's still putting the numbers up. Do you think it was wise to re-sign Karl Malone?
I think Karl Malone is a legend, but he's a functional legend. Like, there's legends and then there's fossils. So you look at Kubrick, you look at Hitchens on the Nuggets, you look at Tiger Woods out there in the seventh inning of the last Clippers game. Malone is different from Woods, different from Kubrick, right, different from Hitchens, in that he is a functional legend. He still has value. Most importantly, leadership. The other Jazz.
Yeah.
The other Jazzes are gonna look at Malone, and they're gonna remember what it's like to be proud of the Jazzes.
Listen.
It's a game about spirit and mind. Like, I don't know what people think moves that ball from left to right out there, but. It's not just yardage. It's handicaps. It's icing the knee. It's taking things quarter by quarter, and it's leadership. It's belief in that your team can do it. And Malone brings that to the Jazz.
All right.
That's what the Jazz has been missing. I'm not going to win any popularity contest saying this, but Malone belongs on that team, and Hitler was right.
Sports Corner. Brought to you by Nabisco. Nabisco.
Oh, Sports Corner.
Yeah.
Sports Corner. Sports Corner. Secret racist agenda in Sports Corner. Don't know if you caught it. Sports Corner. Stuck in a pro-Nazi message at the end. It's just that simple. Sometimes you catch it. Sometimes you don't. Remember?
Yeah. I mean, some of your racist agenda is more subtle than other times.
Yeah.
That time you just said Hitler was right. You just
Don
came out
Imus,
right.
He got caught. You know, yeah. Jimmy the Greek, he got caught. I'm very cool about it. I'll slip it in.
Yeah.
I give a boom goes the dynamite. Hitler was right. Okay.
What do you think Hitler did right? I mean, top 10
yardage.
Mostly yardage. I mean, he really put up some yardage against Poland in 1939.
He was first in completions,
yeah.
Jeff.
Always be attacking, yeah.
He did. Yeah. Well, this is going to end up out of context on Huffington Post or TMZ. And the word Chevy Chase is going to get mentioned 7 times. Oh, well. That's life in the tag cloud. It's a tag cloud society now, Jeff.
It really is.
Got to keep that ball moving.
You know, I feel like if there's been one good thing, and there's been many good things about this Harmon tour that we've been doing, but speaking of the internet and the benefits that it has, I think if we do one thing in this tour is that we've released into the ether and into the ethos of the country and possibly the world a gentleman named Spencer Crittenden.
Oh, yeah.
Spencer to the stage. Spencer, are you with us? Spencer Crittenden, everybody!
Oh, approaching the table, wearing his vintage community shirt, he sets down his bag with an earth-shattering thud.
The mics are hot, but the crowd is hotter.
His beard contains secrets and scrambled eggs. He's a better rapper.
Spencer did a rap debut last night in Denver, everybody.
Yeah, it hasn't podcast yet, so we're letting you know. Spencer has emerged as the master rapper of the tour bus.
I don't feel like that the battle has really reached its fever pitch, though.
No. Someone's going to die.
I think that was the opening cling clang of a sword fight. We haven't really got up the staircase and swiped the candles in half
yet. Yeah. Can we talk about Gobbler's Knob a little bit?
I was laying in my bunk in the tour bus, and we were about 45 minutes out from Salt Lake City, and I'm looking on the map where we are, and I notice a little town
way off. I don't even know if any roads connect it to the highway we are on.
It's just a knob. I don't even know if it's a town.
Well,
it's a...
there is a place on a map known as Gobbler's Knob, which that's what I would call a town if you let me name towns. Has anybody been to Gobbler's Knob? Really? Yeah. It's not that. Has anybody heard of Gobbler's Knob? Yeah. Pull it up on the map. We should all go after the show. We should all go to Gobbler's Knob.
They changed the name though. It used to be really embarrassing. Like it was like was it just penis dick cock swallow valley, and then they
boner huffer.
Yeah, Gobbler's Knob. I love that it's not knob gobblers. It's Gobbler's Knob.
Gobbler's
Hi,
knob.
I'm Carl Gobbler. There's a knob where you can have a nice glass of lemonade with me, Carl Gobbler.
Why isn't there a band called Gobbler's Knob? It's so good.
Gobbler's Knob.
Gobbler's Knob.
You know, everything at Gobbler's Knob like is very, very serious. You know that they have to be very serious there. If there's people that live there, you know they're like experts in keeping it cool and like there's like eight libraries every block. Like cuz they're like we live in Gobbler's Knob, so like somebody fucking compensate here.
You see, Dan said earlier they probably have a really good Holocaust museum there.
Yeah, anything serious like they're experts in the serious. It's all in to offset, you know. There's a sign as you go into Gobbler's Knob. It says, "Welcome to Gobbler's Knob. This is a serious place."
Yeah.
This is for real. You didn't come here to make fun of us, did you? You want a t-shirt. We get it.
If they had any brains, there's a big sign that says "Welcome to Gobbler's Knob," and there's a gift shop right there.
Yeah. Get your t-shirts.
And there's a turkey sucking a dick.
When I was there was a guy in there was a guy in Milwaukee.
I just want a t-shirt with a turkey sucking a dick.
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there's there was a war hero from there that fought in World War II, I think, and he had parks named after him and some streets named after him, and his last name was Bong, and there was a Bong wreck area, like a. And it was, the sign was like cold riveted. it would say Bong Wrecker as this little sign that was just like any ordinary sign for anything else, but it was like fucking 8 bolts per centimeter. It was like razor wire going up to it.
Giant chisel marks on the side of it.
And they actually, I saw an interview with his granddaughter or something, who's still a Milwaukee kind of socialite or philanthropist or something. And the Bong name lives on in Milwaukee. And the journalist had to just be doing it as a bit. It was like this interview with this woman that was like, she just didn't understand why. Why is it the most stolen sign in all of Wisconsin? Why do people keep stealing the Bong Wreck Area sign? He was a war hero. He tried to do good with his life, but I don't know if they're being disrespectful or if they just appreciate history. It's because it looks perfect in your basement. There will never be enough Bong Wreck Areas to put that sign up.
Spencer, I saw on the Instagrams that you and Aaron made snow angels, and you did it in your shorts.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Did you bring pants?
I brought one pair of jeans.
Are they magic jeans? Do they have one use? Are you saving them for something?
Oh, yeah, they recharge every couple of days, so I've been cycling them.
Is it for you, like when people tell me to tie my shoe, like people telling you to not wear shorts?
It's just obnoxious because people think that because they're little wusses about weather that I am, and I'm just fine. I was fine in Bloomington. I was fine in Chicago. I'm fine here.
So you're not doing it to prove a point. You're doing it because you're more comfortable that way.
Well, at some point when people start telling you to put on pants, you do it to prove a point.
Right.
But honestly, I'm fine. If I thought I'd be more comfortable wearing pants, would have just put them on.
But the worst thing is, imagine, when I was a kid, people would tell me, take a shower, you got to comb your hair, take a shower, you stink, you're a piece of shit. And then one day I took a shower and combed my hair and got on the bus, and all the eighth graders were like, whoa, look at that. Dude, give me skin, man. Give me five. Fucking seriously, man. Good job. And I was like, never again, motherfucker.
You just redefined lack of hygiene. I am going to be a millionaire, and I'm going to smell like a butt.
You've done it. You've accomplished your dream.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a shower in the hotel today. You can't even tell. I'm so dirty, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm 800 showers behind. I have to take like 80 showers in a row.
Our tour bus smells pretty good. I thought certainly by the halfway point it would be smelling like a locker room in there, but it's pretty good.
I've never, you know, people tell me like girlfriends and stuff. They go, you know, you talk about your lack of hygiene, but you actually don't stink that bad. And I think you know, your body's covered with this symbiotic like community of microbes, you know. And when you wash, you like kind of disrupt it a little bit. I'm not saying people shouldn't wash. I'm just saying like part of your immune system, your body's immune system that fights off like weird germs and stuff from the outside world, part of why we've all been touching bathroom doorknobs forever without having there be a giant epidemic is because your body is, there's no real estate on your body for germs because it's covered in germs, your own germs. Like you have just, it's wall to wall, the entire surface of your skin is shoulder to shoulder fucking, you know, boogans and stuff.
So is this like some kind of revisionist hygiene history?
No, look it up. Google it, fuckers. You cleanists.
If you take too many showers, you'll like break out more often and stuff because it wipes out that bacteria that would otherwise be kind of protecting it.
And I think Aaron says like, because I'll not take a shower for many days. And Aaron said... You don't just start to stink. Like you just start gradually to smell more and more like bread.
I've smelled you when you stink. It ain't bread.
Well, I mean, that's... I don't love you.
Yeah, no, we're never going to fuck. Yeah, but maybe that's like a body chemistry thing. You know?
I think so. Yeah. I think people's noses and other people's BO are like key. You know, there's a thing. There's a like a, it's like a speed dating thing. I mean, there's a thing for anything. I could make this up, but I'm not. Somebody told me about this. I don't know where they're doing this, but it's kind of, it's like a speed dating kind of weird thing where people get together. You don't shower for a day or 2 days. I don't know what it is. You take the clothes and then you freeze them. You bring them to this gathering, and then the people do this speed dating thing where these thawed BO shirts, like no cologne, no deodorant, but it's just your BO. Men and women, it's like these anonymous piles of clothes, and people go around in circles and they smell the
bread.
And you write down like what you're okay with, like what you're you know, like, oh, shirt number 8, like I don't mind that, it smells like my dad or something. I don't know, whatever, you know. I can tell that person hasn't had a shower for 2 days, but at the same time, I wasn't repelled by it. I'll tell you in the next podcast whether or not it's working. I don't know. 80 people have been married, and I don't know. That's all I heard.
I heard interesting concept. Like there was like you could do personality tests. They gave people shirts and had them wear them around for like a week, and then they gave them to a lab, and then they gave them to people who weren't trained to like understand, and they'd like made them smell it and said, what do you think about this person who wore this shirt? And they were like actually pretty accurate compared to if you just looked at the person and tried to form a judgment.
Interesting.
Makes sense. I mean, granted, our noses as primates have been totally shut down. Like, that's why we're blown away by dogs and cats, because we used to have snouts like that. But we have our eyes moved forward to the front of our head to get stereoscopic color vision. And all this equipment, all this like computer equipment up behind your nose, like that had to get like kind of liquidated and like sold, like and shut down. So we our noses compared to dogs are dogs' noses are pretty much their eyes. Like dogs smell as much as we see, and they just use their eyes to like not bump into a wall and like kind of zero in on the butthole to smell. But then when that butthole is like the Facebook page, like I'm not the first person to bring this up at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. I'm sure Kevin Nealon's got 20 minutes on this. but there's a wealth of information they get out of that butt. All we get is it smells like poop. But that being said, I think there is more to smell than we are used to experiencing. Anyways. We got deep tonight, Salt Lake. I mean, you can't say that Dan Harmon didn't come to your town and confuse you. And that's what the show's all about.
Should we go out in the crowd and find us? We have to make our connection, man. We're not going to be here long.
Okay, you want to make a personal connection with someone?
I mean, it's hard to force.
I like to go with people who are feeling pain, like not necessarily physical, like someone who thinks they had a pretty bad day, and it really doesn't have to be in a funny way, but anybody that's willing to like talk about like. I don't know, you're going through some shit, like if it's a breakup that you're not able to get over, or like a job transition, or a long spate of unemployment. What's that? Are you volunteering yourself, like going like, I got some job troubles?
Sure.
Okay, let's bring them up.
What's your name?
Craig.
It's Craig.
Everybody.
This is Craig.
From Wisconsin.
Oh, Craig from Wisconsin. Yeah, Craig. I don't know why people didn't instinctively applaud you when you came up onto the stage. Yeah. Maybe you smell weird. I don't know. Craig. So you're specifically, are you having a hard time transitioning occupationally?
I taught art for 20 years, Dan, and last year I had to resign just because of the state of Wisconsin has got some. Really
oh
bad
God!
Stuff
yeah. Wisconsin has horrible things going on educationally. Yes. My brother's wife is a teacher there.
Ouch. But now I'm trying to figure out what to do next, man.
Have you considered the Dan Harmon lookalike contest that's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's tomorrow night in Ogden, Utah. That's the grand prize is
let's get a picture together here at the very least. can you tell us, Craig, like holy shit.
Guys, I'm here.
Wow.
That's nice. Here, let me wear your glasses for a second.
Sure. So, Craig, tell me about your job.
Hey, look, I was a teacher for 20 years, Dan, and Wisconsin's fucked up. You know, it's now I'm looking for more work. No, you tell us, Craig. It's Craig.
I was going to say, while Craig was Dan, I was going to make him rap.
Craig, can you?
Yeah.
Well, wait. Can you just give it?
We'll build up to it.
Yeah,
we'll
build up. No, because I want to hear about this Wisconsin thing because I keep hearing about it. It's my home state. Shit is fucked up there. So like, specifically, it's more fucked up. Like education, it's a hot button. It's a liberal thing, but it's like it's also so fucking true. Like it's one of the cheapest things that we could be spending money on.
I love the kids too, man. I love the kids, but there's so many rules that are. It's not working.
It's so easy to like suck money out of that sector, and it makes no sense. It only makes sense to creepy rich people because they don't get rich the next day by putting any money into the idea that it happens so fast. 20 years from now, you're gonna feel the. Anyways, can you tell us specifically what's going on in Wisconsin? It has to do with like unions and stuff.
They kind of busted up the unions for the teachers and. And now the administrators of all the school districts can make up their own set of rules. So I'm not supposed to speak about this, but I had 40 kids in my classroom to try to teach art to at once. And it's like 40 kids is a lot of kids.
That was par for the course when I was in high school Milwaukee
Public
mind. Schools.
Never mind.
No, these are 6,000 student schools.
Oh, okay.
Like I went to Marshall High before I went to Brown Deer.
Okay.
And I was like, was it 6,000? 4,000 kids. And then I went to the suburbs and it was 600 kids and it was like 15 or 20 kids in a class. But when I was in Milwaukee Public Schools, there would be 30, 40 kids in a class, especially in an art class where it's like, oh, you have to take art. We don't want to spend any money on it. You just six kids to a paintbrush and you know, like, because who's going to enforce this?
I loved art class, but again, we had 30, 40 kids in my class and I barely remember that teacher's name because you got no personal interaction with, like, we were all making clay. You know, statues and stuff like that. There was no input. There was no connection at all.
Amen.
And so you end up doing a thing and you get a grade on it, but you don't know what you did. You don't know why you did it. There's no interaction at all. There's no nurturing or mentoring at all. I mean, that must be especially hard on an art teacher where it's all about expression.
Well, you want them to be unique, right? You don't want them to be cookie cutters and whatnot. So
yeah, they're human beings. Like you have no idea. Like we in a grand scheme of things, what happened is we know that education's important. We know that our kids have to go to school, and then all of a sudden this becomes like this. We have to have this system. So it's like, and then how do you allocate funding to this system, because it's not socialism. It's the government funds this thing. So how much should we fund it? Well, what are your test scores in this school? Okay, so if our test scores are this, then we get this amount of money for microscopes, and if they don't, and the whole thing gets fucked up by, guess what? Money. Like, it's no place in medicine or education. I'm sorry to just be a typical liberal, but how much more clear could it be that shit, that like education and medicine, like the dollar getting near that stuff, like how like it's only a couple minutes before the fucking weird paradoxes start to happen. So what do we have to do in Wisconsin? I'll make it happen tonight, Craig.
Awesome.
All right, so are you out of a job now? Are you retired?
I'm currently unemployed.
And what, do you want to get back into teaching again?
Part of me will always be a teacher, but I wanna come with Dan and write movies.
You guys could like go to meetings. Dan could sleep.
Yeah, you could go in. Yeah, it's like an Olsen twins movie. Let's trick them.
Yeah, like, Dan would be. You'd be sleeping in the car, and Dan would come out. Like, you'd tag out. You'd put his shirt on, and you'd smell like him, and you'd go into the meeting.
Zemeckis wants a movie about a giant. Go.
Here we go. Wait a second, Dan Harmon. You know, we broke for lunch. Weren't you wearing glasses earlier before you went to lunch?
Yes. The better to see you with, Mr. Spielberg.
Okay. I don't know. It's just like, you were being a real asshole a couple hours ago, but now I really like you. You seem a little older and wiser now.
Seem more artistic.
Yeah.
You smelled different. All right. Well. Aside from taking you to L.A., I mean, come to L.A. Write a screenplay. Cool. You know.
Have you ever written screenplays before? Is that something you dabble in?
Yes, I do.
what kind of genre of stuff do you do?
I've done some 101 pieces.
Oh.
So I've,
oh, really?
I think
Channel 101 he's talking about, or nonprofit.
I did a puppet art teacher from Wisconsin. Called Whackjack years ago.
Hmm.
So you remember that one?
That might ring a bell.
It didn't make it into the screening?
It was the seventh one voted off. So It didn't make it quite in.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
No. It would have changed my life.
Yeah. Way to go, Harmon.
If you want to change your life, all you got to do is rap! Yo, I'll start. You teach art. You're unemployed. I just farted. Sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I fucked your mama like her name was...
Hewitt?
Sorry, I'll start over. Breakdown, Salt Lake City. Only thing that rhymes with that is your mama's
titty.
Lake made of salt, drove to get here when ice instead of asphalt. The bus almost tipped over 3 times. Now I'm gonna express it through rhyme. It's a hard place to get to, but I love the people here. I fucked your mama so hard, her titty sprayed beer. Craig coming to the mic. Craig's coming to the mic.
Yeah. There's time here at the school. Mr. Harmon is feeling so cool. Hey there, buddy, don't do nothing fun, cause if you do, you're gonna kill the sun.
Yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, shit got mythological.
Yeah, that's mythical. He's Egyptian. Well, you eat the sun every time you make a painting. Holy shit. Sorry.
Yeah.
Painting?
The sun just got eaten.
Right.
The sun
just got eaten. Sky black as cloth, can't see anything. I fucked your mama so hard, her pussy started to sing. Said la la la, and I said shh.
So a story is building.
Sorry.
So just so far, just to keep it up to date. A woman's titty sprayed beer, and then someone got bad grades in school, so the sun got eaten, and now a woman's pussy is singing.
Yeah.
Maybe we can connect those dots.
Okay, all right.
Take it, Craig. The sun is gone.
Hey, Mom, she's quite the fox, because she's the one with the singing box. So don't go there. She's not here. Everybody go get a beer.
Oh, Salt Lake Craig. Salt Lake Craig wrapped it up for us, right? No?
Yeah. Salt Lake Craig, everybody. Yeah.
Woo!
All right. For God's sake, support education.
Amen.
Every time you...
Thank you guys so much.
Every time you get all excited, thank you, Craig. Every 4 years, you know how we have this big ritual where we pretend that the one guy we vote for is going to make a huge fucking difference for 4 years? There's also a bunch of other stuff on the ballot. Every time you see the word education, say yes. Because there's no way you will ever go broke giving money to teachers in schools. It's impossible. Here's some stuff that costs a lot of money. Giant fucking weapons, like, that will never be useful against a guy who is born in a crater and just wants to blow shit up with his own body. With the tanks, they will keep. Let's melt a couple of them down and turn them into erasers. I think that's how that works.
So we made a human connection.
Your city, your state, like the lower, the more local your politics get, the more important they are. The pothole outside your house needs filling. It gets filled or not filled based on a person or a community going, like, let's fill the pothole, take those resources, allocate them. A Walmart getting built on your corner, that's like local shit. You know, the stop sign that stops a car accident, that stops people from dying. We argue about the dumbest, fakest shit. I'm 40 years old. Some of you are 25. Like, you think gay marriage and abortion, they made it up. They're pretending these are issues because they're all in fucking cahoots with each other. Fuck these guys. Just local politics are kind of important. All politics are bullshit, but local politics are a little more. You get a little fucking yardage if you decide to.
It's all about yardage, man.
Yardage. It's all about yardage. Don't. Yeah, it's getting tangled and crazy in Wisconsin because we start thinking that we need some Superman in the White House in order to change the world, and all that guy is just a, you know. I'm sure he's a great guy, but what the fuck is he gonna do except walk around and not embarrass me when he talks? That's why I voted for him. I literally just voted for Obama because it was like, oh, he can speak. Like I'm so embarrassed.
Was everybody crazy for? I mean, like the Mormon community here, was everybody really wild for Mitt during the election?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the Mormon thing. Like, I know, like a good half of the population here is still actually more. Maybe not here, but. How many Mormons do we have by applause in the audience, in a Harmontown audience?
Oh, quite a few.
Nothing.
20% maybe?
That makes
sense. You're an ex-Mormon?
The city was founded by Mormons and is now, like, basically, according to Wikipedia, half non-Mormon. I mean, it's a capital city and a city of industry now. It's not about Mormonism anymore, necessarily. There's not, like, a Mormon train, like, that's propelled by Mormonism. The train has electricity in it, and the banks have money in them, not snakes. I don't know what Mormons believe, but I think they talk to snakes. I can't remember.
Should we get a Mormon person up here?
Can we have a Mormon up? Let's have a Mormon. Not a Jack Mormon.
Let's get a gal up. Let's get a woman on stage.
Okay, yeah. Let's have a female Mormon that won't be a We want a Mormon's a proud Mormon. Are you not a self-loathing Mormon? Okay.
What's your name, miss?
Talitha.
Okay.
Say again?
Talitha.
Talitha?
Talitha.
Talitha.
Like urethra.
Like uresa? Yeah. I met a guy. There was a guy that had me sign his book at after the show. And he said, can you make... Everybody's got a weird name, like Ridley and Blaker.
We like to come up with the more original, the better.
There's
kind of
a thousand ways to spell Aaron. There's a thousand ways to spell Michael. I always ask. And I was so used to asking, like, get the right spelling. The guy said, can you make it out to Jathan? And I was like, yeah, J-A-T-H-A-N? And he's like, no, J-A-S-O-N. I have a horrible speech impediment. It's really bad. It's so bad that I sound like a cartoon.
Thanks for pointing that out.
And I was like, oh, my God. But he was, I mean, he was, he's a Armenian, so he was...
What a drag to have a lisp and you have an S in your name. That's a bummer.
Yeah,
that sucks.
All right, sorry. So
her name might be Talisa. We don't know. Maybe she has a lisp.
That's what I was saying. That's a joke I was making. But no, it's urethra, right? What is it?
Right.
And you're our first Mormon that I know of. I don't know if anyone is a closet Mormon that we've had on the show. And we're in the Mormon capital of the country. And I don't know what to ask. What do we do with the Mormon, Jeff?
I don't know. It occurs to me that I really know nothing about Mormonism except the Mormon families that were in my high school, and I know that they were very tightly knit, very large families generally, and very close, and they had their little home evening or home, what do you call that? Family home
evening.
Right. Yeah.
Are you like, do you still do that with your family? Is it still a big, are you come from a large family as well?
I do. Well, I have a pretty big family for, I don't know by whose standards, but like I actually have 5 kids and I'm 31.
Wow. Hey.
And that's a big deal because, Jeff, what I've heard about Mormons is that you all get your own planet, like in the afterlife. That's one of the 8 things that I've heard about Mormonism, is that the part of the scheme of the afterlife involves your own world.
I've had 3 kids, and then we adopted 2 kids too. But yeah, big families is pretty common.
I've heard so are these things like, are they caricatures? Like, I remember when 9/11 happened, all the ticker tape on CNN could talk about is the 70 virgins, like, because everyone wanted to know who would do this, why would they do it, and that was the talking point. Let's find the weirdest, silliest sounding thing about Islam that we can and just repeat it over and over again. Well, yeah. They think in heaven that your dick is a pine tree. Hey, they already blew up a building. We already hate them. Like, we don't have to. Like. If why did they do it? I'm just wondering. Like, because Christianity has all kinds of weird shit about it that if you focused in on, and Judaism and everything, for a modern Mormon, what do we talk about? Magic underwear. I've heard about the planet that everyone gets when they die, and
no coffee.
No coffee? Is that that's Amish, isn't it? No stimulants. No Diet Coke, right?
There's a health code kind of. So,
right.
So I don't drink alcohol, and you stay away from addictive substances just in general.
Right.
So.
You get to have cool haircuts though.
I do have a pretty.
Yeah, there's
cool
no
haircut.
Rule against that. She looks very cool. I'm telling the podcast audience that sounded patronizing.
If
you had a podcast audience you were constantly reporting to, you would sound sarcastic sometimes, like the person at the bank would go, "You can't have your money." I go, "I can't have my money, folks. It's just the way it works here." Magic underwear. What does that mean? I've heard that phrase, magic underwear.
I'm sure that's speaking in terms of a clothing garment that the LDS people wear.
Right.
It's
LDS is Latter-day Saints. So that's the church, the name of the church. And so it's
nothing magic. It's symbolic.
Right.
So
what is it? Is it about chastity? Or is it about
partly? Yeah. It's symbolic of
get really specific, because I swear to God, I've heard that phrase, like, people who are hating on Mormons, they go, they have magic underwear. They believe in magic underwear. It's just like, and then you move on with your conversation, go, I love the calamari. Like, knowing that that's all I've heard, like, what does that mean? And I also haven't seen the Trey Parker, Matt Stone musical. I don't know anything.
I don't know how to get into it without having like a whole discussion about, you know, all the fundamentals, but
let's do it.
We got all night.
I don't know if this is the right forum.
Kevin Nealon's here on Tuesday, but
we already did.
I can get the missionaries here in about 5 seconds.
We already burned through fart corner. We got nothing left.
I was hoping to get farted on.
Well, is there fear of getting it wrong, of like sounding like you're misrepresenting your religion, or is there fear of people that aren't affiliated, judging you, or is it just a fear of making the podcast 6 hours long because it's that complicated?
No, I mean the gospel's simple. It's a Christian gospel,
right?
So it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There were more books later, right, in the New World.
You're familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That
books written at the same time
But underwear, you can't. You don't want to cartoonify
so
your
you
religion.
If you go back to like in the Old Testament, the Book of Exodus, and things like that, they talk about. They talk about when they go to the temple and putting on a holy garment. Mm-hmm. So it's the same type of thing. It's symbolic of certain covenants you make at the
temple.
This
is not a sexual thing at all. This is not about...
No.
Oh, see, my you know, Orthodox Jews, like some there's some sects of Judaism that where they have sex through a hole in a blanket or whatever. Because everyone has their own, you know, old religions. They have old ideas about sex that have. I thought when I heard magic underwear, I automatically assumed it was some kind of like
that you wore during.
Yeah, there was like didn't have a flap in it or something. so that when you were 16, you got a flap, or and then you get to go to prom.
Talitha, I'm assuming you're not wearing it now. You wear it when you go into the temple, right?
No, at all times.
So it's like a yarmulke, Jews wear yarmulkes all the time.
Are you wearing it now?
I am, yeah.
And it's about, like a yarmulke is about, like, humbling yourself before God. Like, you're covering your head. It's a symbolic, God-fearing thing. So this underwear is covering your...
So symbolic of, starting, like, your body is, like, your temple. Your body is your gift from God. It houses your spirit. Mm-hmm. So your body is kind of, like, your most sacred... physical possession, I guess.
Where do you go?
And the fundamental level, no matter what you're doing out in society, underneath it all,
your garment. Yeah.
Is your relationship with the cosmos. Right. I mean, this is like when I was a kid, we had a thing called underoos.
Sacred to you.
In a secular sense, yes, sacred. I'm getting picked on. I'm getting a swirly, but I'm the Hulk down here. They just don't know it. I'm Aquaman. I have a relationship that doesn't sound magic underwear. See, people are too. It's too.
We trivialize stuff, but also people are very freaked out by other people's spirituality and stuff like that.
So we do the opposite of trivializing it, right? We make it into too big a deal because every single little thing, like religious traditions and rituals, are little tiny little things that sometimes have practicality and sometimes don't, but in all cases. Are designed to remind the individual in a world where God's not hanging out all the time that God is a part of their life, that they have a relationship with the unknown.
Right.
And scientists get to punch a clock at work every day. Their job is to study the unknown and like figure shit out, so they don't need magic underwear to remind them. But if you work at Verizon, there's a lot of people that are going to try to like make you think that you should worship Verizon, and they should go fuck themselves if you're a Mormon, because you like when you go home at night, you're beholden to this other thing.
Do you go to a store to get them? Do you make them yourself? Like, how do you?
It's an authorized store. Yeah, so the church makes them. Yeah, it's like an authorized pattern.
It's like kosher food. Like, there's some factory somewhere where there's a rabbi going, this hot dog's good to go.
It's
just an authorized pattern.
Don't answer this if you don't want to. And I'm not being creepy. What do they look like? Like, what part of your body? What physically? Huh? Granny underwear.
Just. Like from here to here,
really?
Like an old timey swimsuit, like in the
No, just like a shirt and shorts.
Well, I'm glad.
I still make one piece.
I hope everyone else got their money's worth, but I certainly do. I'm glad I finally learned about the magic.
Okay, now let's say you go to the beach. Let's say you're taking a swim in the Salt Lake. Do you swim in the Salt Lake? You're taking a float in the Salt Lake.
Yeah, then you would just not wear them for activities that wouldn't.
Gotcha.
That you couldn't normally do without. Like, so, you know, if I'm going swimming or going to work out or...
All right.
You got 5 children. You can have any more? Is that the limit? I'm not coming on to you, by the way.
You have sexy hair. We want to know about your underwear.
Yeah, let's make it around 6.
And how...
I'm drawing conclusions.
How fertile are you? I keep thinking like, oh, there's a big wrap-up question, but because I don't want to just have brought you up and talked about underwear, but communication is always the fucking thing. Like I'm obsessed with race, you know, all the time. I grew up in the 70s, and it's like when I was a kid on the playground, I was like one white kid and I'd be surrounded by a bunch of black kids, and I remember back then it was the 70s, and like we were coming off our Norman Lear sitcoms, and everyone was talking about the fact that people were different, and you'd have conversations where you'd go up to a black kid and you'd go, can I touch your hair? What does it feel like? Or overall, you wouldn't know because people are communicating because that's the human gift is to communicate. And then this somebody saying, oh, they have magic underwear over calamari, and then that's all I hear. And then all of the problem is in everything that's not explained. Like, it actually doesn't sound very, very, very weird at all. And it doesn't sound very magical either.
Or, yeah.
It sounds, sounds like ritualistic, ceremonial.
Yeah,
and,
it's ceremonial, symbolic. Yeah.
Does it have a big M on it? No.
Super Mormon.
That's Mario. That's Mario. I'm sorry. Well, let's have a hand for our Mormon representative.
Thank you, Talitha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was hoping I could get farted on.
You want to get farted on?
I was hoping.
All right.
You want the music?
Yes, please.
Oh, hang on. Let's go.
Sorry. Pretend I didn't do
that. Didn't count.
Talitha wants the music. Fart Corner.
Religious edition. All faiths from corner to corner. Everyone's going to get farted on. That's a guarantorner. Made up a new word. I can do that. Human beings can make up words and religions. That's our talent. That's what we do. It's called mythology. So, scoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
Farted on a Mormon.
Farted on a Mormon. Talitha, everybody. Thank you so much.
You know what Joseph Campbell said about religion, Jeff?
Don't fart on it?
People, to paraphrase Joseph Campbell, people fuck it up because they think that Bibles are newspapers. Like, they don't, like your religion is supposed to be, have a transparency to it. You're supposed to be in on the joke. You're supposed to have one foot in, one foot out. The whole point of religion, the whole point of God is that the jar that God comes in says on the label, you're not supposed to understand it. It's not fucking steak sauce. You don't get to incorporate it into your day-to-day without any degree of problems or difficulties with the people around you. It's a very personal thing. Some religions make it a communal thing, and then and notice how their communities, their kids have higher test scores and bigger pools, and we get jealous of them, and then we throw bricks at their windows because... it's God, dude. It's like, it's confusing shit. It both exists and doesn't exist. That's a big confuser right there, isn't it? That's a tough one to handle. He's not going to come down and go like, hey, welcome to Wise Guys. Is everybody doing okay? That would be the worst God ever. Like as soon as he does that, he's fired. Right? Like he becomes Kevin Nealon. As soon as he makes an appearance, that's all he is Kevin Nealon. He retains God status by staying out of the picture. It is your job to...
There are less images of Jesus in a church than there are of Kevin Nealon in this comedy club. Jesus is good with just that one, like, hey, I did a thing, and then fucking...
And our parents fuck us up, but it's, like, you know, it's a popular 25. When you're 25, you go like, well, I don't... But you smoke a joint, and you go like, ah, man, you know, God is fucking bullshit. I don't believe in some guy in a cloud with a beard. You know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And I was like, it's fine, but no, just because your parents are dipshits doesn't mean that Santa Claus and God are the same thing. That was just your parents trying to, like, pull a whammy on you.
Spencer,
all the way to jaded cynicism just to get back at your parents. What a waste of a giant brain that's designed to like create and live mythology.
Spencer, do you have any spiritual side to you? Do you believe in God? What's your take on the whole rigmarole?
I was raised Christian, and when I was young, I accepted the Lord.
Sorry, it's a tone of voice thing.
It wasn't a leap of faith for me. It was like, okay, there's this dude. He did.
Wait, hang on. If you're going to describe that moment, can we do it D&D style?
I guess.
Spencer, I'm being attacked by Christian parents.
Okay. With Bibles. I was talking about a thing. I can't switch gears that fast.
Oh, sorry.
He was going to talk about God, but he was going to explain what was going on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry.
Walking into the room, clutching Bibles. Your parents say they want to pray with you before they go out to eat. Swallowing your pride, you acquiesce. No, but I mean, it made sense to me as a kid, and then I grew up, and it made less sense to me, and I was never someone who had faith, like, in anything. I don't have faith that my mom was going to go back, you know, come home if she left. I didn't have faith that the bus was going to arrive. I have faith in nothing. So when it stopped making sense, I was like, okay, this doesn't make sense. I stopped taking it to be fact. So I think that there's definitely some sort of ethereal, metaphysical power, and it manifests itself in many ways that we don't understand. I don't know what those are because we don't understand them.
Ghosts, the Loch Ness Monster, and spontaneous combustion.
Those could all be the same thing. Like, those could be miracles, or those could all be psychic powers.
I do believe the Loch Ness Monster makes spontaneous combustion happen.
Yeah, whenever he, like, dreams about the sun.
No, absolutely. I mean, when I was growing up, my parents were Christian and told me when if I would break a flower pot, they'd go, swear in the Bible that you didn't break it and all this stuff. Nothing will make you an atheist quicker than Christian parents. And that's a proud American tradition. Because your parents' Christianity is like man, it can really blow. It's like their car.
It's a parenting.
You get
technique.
A station wagon from them that you don't want either. Your dream is to get a Camaro.
When I was a kid, I was raised in a Lutheran school as a little kid, and you had the Sunday school and you heard the Bible stories. That was the only thing I kind of liked. I never knew what they meant, but I liked the mythology of it. I always liked the storytelling about like people blowing trumpets and knocking walls down. I have no idea what the point of it all was, but I knew that Lutheran church, you get to sit there and doodle and nobody cared. So I just drew a lot. And I would leave the church. And I'd go up to the pastor, and he would put his hand out, and he would say, let's see what you drew. He didn't care that I wasn't listening. He actually liked my little drawings.
I've told the story before, I think, on the podcast, where I went to Sunday school, and my mom asked, what did you do today in Sunday school? It was like our first day in Sunday school, and I told her, and she pulled me out, because it was like we learned to recognize Bible characters with flashcards. We learned to recognize them visually. I can tell you the difference between Ham and Noah, because Ham had a cane in his hand. Noah had a backpack.
Hey, but confusingly,
they were both cartoons. They both looked like Captain Caveman.
Confusingly, Cain had a ham in his hand.
And I explained this to my mom. I said, I can tell you who Ham's wife looks like. I can tell you who Noah's wife looks like.
That is ridiculous.
And my mom said, that is ridiculous. And you don't have to go to Sunday school anymore.
Holy smoke.
But she also put the whammy on me with the, you know, God exists and don't. Because if I'd be programming my Commodore 64 and it wouldn't work right, I would go, God damn it, fucking computer. And my mom would go, you know, she'd like slap me and go like, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Like she'd be like, really, I think she was carrying some shit over from her parents. She just knew that if she had a kid that didn't respect God, that she was a fuck up as a parent. So she was just out of paranoia and anxiety, was like just putting the fear into me and nothing else. There was nothing. And I remember I had these books that would be like the hand-me-downs of like, oh, see Dick and Jane hang out, and they lost their dog. Oh, where's the dog? Where's Spot? We can't find Spot. And I'm like, oh, I'm learning to read. This is great. Well, we can't find Spot. What should we do? Turn the page. Let's pray. What? Jesus can help you find your dog, and this Jesus would be hanging out in his robe in the middle of this book about these 50s kids looking for their dog. I remember that being a drag, because it wasn't a good story. It was Deus Ex Machina, and also weird. Like, Jesus is not like a cool looking character in a children's book.
Pardon me, Dan. It's very interesting. Carlos, could I get another ale, please?
Did you call him Carlos?
That's his name, isn't it?
It's Marcus, isn't it?
No, it says Marcos. He's wearing someone else's name tag.
What the fuck? Wait. So your name is Carlos and you steal clothes? Do you have any idea? We should point out he's definitely white. Because I don't want podcast listeners to hear, oh, yeah, there's a guy named Carlos that's wearing Marcus's clothes.
What happened to Marcos? Oh, you found it again. Oh, woo. Right. Mystery right. Solved. Thank you, Kevin Nealon.
I don't know. Plot thickens, as far as I'm concerned. Not mystery solved. All right, let's play Dungeons & Dragons.
All right, let's do it. Aaron McGaffey, will you please join us on stage?
This.
Oh. And Carlos, once again, thank you for my beer, sir. Is this legal? Can I do this? All right, yeah, perfect.
Carlos broke the law by bringing you the beer because he's not eating while he's doing it. If Carlos has to have a pretzel in his hand in order to bring you the beer. All right. So Aaron, I never know how the show's going because I'm up here. Did I bore people with my political and religious?
No, I thought it was, it's a great show so far. There's a lot of content and
four-star review from my girlfriend.
I liked a whole lot. I love the religious talk. You know, my dad was a preacher and my mom was a theology professor, so I love that stuff.
Is that why I turn you on? Because it reminds you of
I
your
mean,
dad?
I mean, if you want to be gross, I think so, a little bit. You're kind of a, I was thinking about this a few nights ago. You're kind of a preacher. You're a fisher of men, a little bit.
I have a congregation.
Yeah, similar to my dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he smell like your dad?
No, the dicks taste the same, but... Bread.
Bread.
Yeah, they taste like focaccia.
No. Shout out to my dad.
And his dick. And his delicious, delicious clerical cock. Wow.
Oh, so awful. So awful.
Sorry, Talitha.
No, it's nice. You spent some time with my dad. I have a really nice, wonderful, smart, very cool dad. Sexy, strong.
He is cool.
Lithe.
I went fishing with him. He's a cool dude. I like him.
But you said he had a bunch of, on the bus, you said he had a bunch of Mormon jokes that he used to tell, and then you texted him, and he chickened out, and he said, I never had any Mormon jokes.
He said, Aaron, I was just explaining Mormon theology to you. That sounds weird.
I mean, if you find that funny, it's in the eye of the beholder.
It's on you.
But I thought you told me a story once about when your dad was a Navy chaplain. Mm-hmm. He had a Scientology book in his office, and somebody asked him what's going on, and he said, "I'm reading this because one of the seamen one of my flock is a Scientologist, and I want to. He's reading all the Scientology books so that he can be a better chaplain to whoever's on board his ship."
That's smart, fucking cool.
That's cooler than I would be. I'd be like, "What? Come on!" I'd read the back of the book, and I'd be like, "Okay." Well.
I see. That's the thing. I really loved having Talitha up there and talking about stuff. I mean, we certainly didn't get to the bottom of like the heavy, you know.
That's a whole podcast we could
absolutely.
Do.
But I was like at a Box Brothers, like a place where you mail stuff, and I was standing behind a dude in Los Feliz in our neighborhood, and he's like this, you know, very well dressed, middle aged guy, nice suit on, very well, just you know, clearly like well to do ish, you know, like you know, having a, you know, life's been good to him. He's mailing off some stuff, and he had a Scientology ring with a little S in the triangle or whatever. And we're there was some big delay, so we're just kind of hanging out. And he's kind of tapping his fingers, and I notice the ring. And I go, pardon me, that ring, that's Scientology, right? And he turns around like I had just tried to take his wallet from him. And like, it's really defensive. And I this guy does not represent all Scientologists, certainly. But he turned around, which is incredible, like, what? Like almost like with the posture of like instantly really defensive. And I'm like, and I just kind of just pressed right past it. I go, I know. I live in this neighborhood. There's all these Scientology buildings. I've met Scientologists. I don't know the first thing about it. And he's like, he's really bummed out. And he turned around like, can you not tell me about it? Is that the thing? He's like, what's? He's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm just asking about Scientology. He's like, is it off limits to know? I said, because if it is, that's fucked up.
Well, to be fair, you were like, wearing a Guy Fawkes mask.
Huh?
I said, to be fair, you were wearing a Guy Fawkes mask.
And lederhosen. Yes. And I was carrying a banjo. So, you know, he had every reason to not trust me. Yeah,
also, he was buying a first aid kit, and he was bleeding profusely from the...
Right, anyway.
The organization Anonymous Wears Guy Fawkes.
If you can't be forthright about what it is you believe, then I think you believe something stupid. So.
Maybe he had just murdered somebody and stole the ring and didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
There should definitely be an open. Yeah, I think you got to open your books with the religion for sure. Secret religion is a little sketchy.
I mean, maybe some things are stupid. I'll tell you what's not stupid. Something I take very seriously.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
Spencer, bring us up to date, please.
On the last episode, our heroes were still within the depths of the Infinifish. After falling out of a semi-destroyed lung, the team dropped down to the circular chamber below. After deciding to carry on, they ran through the next sphincter into a large pink room with a large hanging organ in it. Assaulting the organ with impunity, the gang was soon accosted by lightning spidery creatures, and fighting those and destroying the organ was the work of a moment. After destroying the organ, the group stood in the chamber. Before you, a tangle of fleshy cords barring your path. Behind you, the circular chamber you were just in. Go.
Again,
I never thought I'd get the timing right on that. That was amazing.
That's a minute and 42-second track, and you managed to go right to the last second every time.
That was orgasmic.
That was really good. I'm looking like, come on, a sweat's dripping down my head. Like, come on, you got 4 seconds, Spencer. And you went,
go. We got to clip all these up for, like, my DJ demo reel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you've heard this track enough where it's kind of cellular.
No, it's completely random every time.
Because I play a bit to walk you on. I play a bit to bring Aaron up. Like, it's never the same thing twice. I just marvel at your internal clock on that track. It's shocking. Right.
Yeah, I was telling Spencer today on the bus, if he ever wanted to start his own religion, now is the time. Everyone's
it's fine. A great city to do it in.
Have you guys heard of the Fork Knots?
The what?
They're little gremlins that cause all the world's problems.
I should have said this gigs ago, but I really need a case for a Samsung Galaxy Note 2. They break very easily, and it's a very hard... I can't find a case for it in any truck stop or Walmart. And so if there was any point where I wanted anyone to think that I was a cult leader that was worth giving gifts to, if you're listening and you're in Portland...
Or San Francisco.
We're so far behind.
It won't drop. You'll get it back.
Yeah, it won't work. It won't fucking work. So I should have done that in Brooklyn. I should have been like, I need a fucking phone case.
Yeah, I told people I needed shoe goo, and my shoe has been repaired, baby. The shoe goo did the job. I never even met the person that gave the shoe goo, so thank you to whoever that was. All right, so we're in a room with the...
What's that? The smoke sticks. We're in the lung of the Infinifish, we think, and we use the smoke sticks
to release acrid smoke into the lungs, as well as igniting torches.
Right.
So we gave the Infinifish emphysema, right?
Right.
And then they slashed it to bits.
And then last night we were in what we think is a kidney, and we slashed that. And there was talk about trying to give the Infinifish AIDS and killing it that way, but we didn't know how to. I tried to summon an AIDS-ridden animal, but I found out I can't summon animals. I can only speak to them. So, yeah.
What would be the noise for you summoning an AIDS-ridden animal? Yeah. Accurate.
What do you think it was going to be? All right, so there's a thing barring our way with the fleshy cords.
Yeah, it's like if you imagine like a large thicket, but of fleshy ropes.
Is this through the third door? Are we in the third?
You're in the room with the organ. If you went back a room, you'd be in that three door room.
So because we're as Dolly Parton would say, we're two doors down.
Two doors down.
We've killed the lung and the kidney, and so now we need to go back.
Presumably, or forward. I mean, either way.
I say to these guys, I think we need to go back and go through that third door and take out the third thing, because this feels a lot like a video game or an Irish joke.
All right. Well, I take a swipe at the fleshy cords with my sword.
Several of them shatter. You know, slice into ribbons. It'll take a few more slices,
can I just do a couple like slice and slices? Like,
yeah.
So I just start hacking at the things.
Hacking at the things, you reveal a passageway.
Oh, that was easy. See, sometimes just use your machete to get.
I charge headlong into the passageway.
Nice.
Yeah, I've changed inside this Infinifish and on this tour and in this movie about the tour. My character's changed. I have changed. I've become cockier. I've become
you rush
longer winded.
Yeah, more headlong in your rushing.
Yeah.
All right.
Blasting through the opening, you are met with what appears to be a slippery slope. Your momentum carries you forward, and you slide down the slope.
I remember that Aaron was in this room. Mulrain was.
At the bottom of the slope is a large orangey-pink slime, translucent and thick.
We're in the butt.
And inside the monster, you can see a large tome. It's thick and appears to be ancient, and it's covered in splatters of blood on its cover.
Inside the what?
There's a large blob of slime, as of some sort of monster, but on the inside is a large ancient tome.
Okay, so there's that's probably like one of like gelatinous monster of some kind.
Yeah, you can see blood seeping out of the book and crawling into the mass of the slime, branching out like buds and shoots from a branch. The book calls to you.
We should join him.
The book calls to me?
You sense a longing for the book.
Bally high, Bally high.
We join Sharpie near the blood book.
You slide down the shaft and are joined with Sharpie.
I nice. Do likewise.
That happens also.
All right, let's start simple here. I'm going to use my crossbow, which I never do. And I would,
kind of my thing.
I'm gonna give to Mulrain, who I assume has better archery skills than me. I'm carrying a thing called Melf's Acid Arrow.
That's actually a spell.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Never mind.
You could cast it though.
Is that like magic missile? But
yeah, except it does acid damage, and there's a chance that it'll do acid damage later on, like damage over time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna try Melf's Acid Arrow because it's an organic thing.
Melf's Acid Arrow?
No, not Milf. Melf. Oh, okay. Melf. He was a guy.
Summoning a green bolt of noxious acid, you fire it directly at the blob.
Choctaw! Choctaw!
Dealing 8 damage.
All right, fine.
It's not great, but you'll take it. Whatevs, man.
You'll take it.
I just noticed that I have a sword.
Yeah, you have a long sword, and you have weapon finesse, which means you're actually quite adroit at it. Is that the right word? Fuck it.
I shoot 2 long swords. Adventure!
Is that a joke?
It's not if you have to ask.
Then your bowstring would be sliced.
I think it's more of a bit.
I take the long sword, and I use it. I slice it towards the book.
Oh, wow. You got a critical hit.
Critical hit!
Slicing at the slime, your sword leaves a clean mark along its surface.
Man, I had someone tweet at me that I was really bad at Dungeons & Dragons. I'm not disproving him.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be sensitive about that.
I'm not.
Dealing 13 damage, you notice that the slime splits in half.
Yeah! Fuck you, Hazmat 46.
Both halves launch their attacks. And miss.
Oh, nice. We got lucky. So now there's 2 halves of slime?
2 slimes remain. Each is about half the size of the former slime that composed the 2 slimes. Book is on the right-hand slime. I don't get it.
So we've passed the book on the right-hand slime?
I'm confused. Like this is making me think that I don't know what slime is because the way that it's acting.
You don't know what swords are.
It's a large blob of a goop in acid that'll kill you.
Okay, I go into a I do a power attack.
Power attack. 1, 2, or 3?
2.
2.
Yep.
You miss.
Shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm this stupid. You hit.
Yeah. Shit.
Slimes are really easy to hit. All right. It's going to be 17 damage.
17 damage, whoa, motherfuckers.
The remaining slime that you slash splits in half, forming 2 smaller slimes.
Oh, son of a bitch. So we're just making more slimes.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, but they're smaller.
That's true.
Sharpie, this might be the wrong time to tell
Jesus
you, but...
Jesus Christ.
My thoughts
oh,
exactly,
Oh, that wasn't...
Spencer.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I agree. You spoke my thoughts.
The slimes lurch towards you and strike both Sharpie and Mulrain with a pseudopod.
Now's a good time to check in with your boyfriend. I'll be over here kicking ass.
I was just going to say I'm very proud of you, that's all.
The two of you take 11 acid damage.
Oh, man. I see colors.
Oh, man.
I could always see colors, but...
Yeah.
I see more. I see more. Yeah. And I smell them. What can I... A quick sidebar, DM? Yeah,
go for it.
Mending, the spell mending...
Can repair a lightly damaged object. Like, do you want to, like, stick the slime back together?
Like, if there's a hole in a boat, that's what that's for.
Or, like, if you sat on your watch.
You know what time it is when I sit on my watch.
Dare box time.
Time to get a new watch, motherfucker.
Oh, damn.
Do I gain hit points from that awesome joke?
No.
All right.
Whose turn is it? My turn?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I was thinking maybe for a second if I use mending to mend the, but I don't want
to. If you'd like to, that might make sense. It's really easy to repair a slime. You just kind of smash it back together.
It's like an asteroids. Why would you want to make remake a big asteroid?
Because it's easier to dodge a large one.
But it won't, okay.
I don't know. I'm just
fine. I'm hearing that I should try this.
Go for it.
I cast mending on two of these smaller slimes.
Two of the slimes coalesce into a larger form. However, that final form seems to be smaller than the sum of the two slime masses.
Ooh. This is like math.
Non-Euclidean geometry.
Spencer, may I use Alchemist's Fire?
Yeah.
On the slime?
Hurling a bag of Alchemist's Fire, you strike the blob directly in its center of mass. Dealing 7 fire damage. The blob's now on fire. Which one did you do?
Hooray!
The one with the book or the one without the book?
The slime?
Yeah, there's 2 slimes at this point.
Which would be better?
The one
don't burn the book.
That you'd like.
I don't want to burn the book.
Okay, cool. That slime dies. Only 1 half slime is remaining.
The one with the book?
The one with the book.
Flaming sword!
Don't burn the book.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You can extinguish the flames on your sword if you'd like.
I extinguish the flames on my flaming sword! Now it's just a sword!
That's a closet sword.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a straight acting sword.
Yeah,
it's a...
yeah, it's very butch.
Closet sword.
Yeah, it's a bear sword.
Yeah, it wears shirts with sleeves now. And.
You slice the book slime and it splits in half, but it also takes 17 damage. It appears to be on the ropes.
How's the book?
The book's cool. It's fine.
Magic missile. I cast magic missile at the slime.
All right.
So as not to hurt the book.
I'm going to resolve slime attacks first.
Yeah, resolve them. Good luck with that.
Quark, you take 11 damage.
Uh-oh. Where's I put my hit points at?
You should have been at full. I don't think you got hit from any of the spider things.
I took a little bit of damage. I think I took like 7 or something.
I think 7 from the lightning spider. So 7 and 11 would put you somewhere around 22. This is so exciting.
It really is.
I'm riveted. Sharpie takes 5 damage. Okay, so you were casting magic missile. I'm just going to play by myself.
Yeah, magic missile.
Have faith that we'll return to you, Spencer.
I think it's funny if I act like that. It's just a joke. But were you going to cast magic missile?
Yeah, okay. at the book-wielding slime.
Firing your magic missiles, they strike true. It takes 7 damage.
Yeah.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Right.
The slime evaporates. You see the book remaining, resting on the fleshy ground.
Step back,
you.
Magic expert. I go to the book.
Yep.
I examine it with my magical eyes.
It appears to be written in some sort of red ink. Or
Abyssal?
Maybe blood. It's actually a language you don't recognize. However, you still seem to feel the power and energy emanating from this book.
Does it feel evil?
It feels... not evil, but definitely dark. Definitely the power of death.
I touch it.
You touch it.
The book, right?
Sharpie.
It feels slightly damp with blood. As you touch it, a bit of blood seeps out of the book onto the ground.
Open it up and check it out, man.
I open up to the inside front cover.
The inside front cover. That's the flyleaf. It's covered in blood.
I open up to a random page in the middle.
It seems to be written in red script that you don't recognize. It's definitely an old language of some sort. It's definitely not Abyssal or any other sort of demonic language as far as you can tell.
Is it Gnome or Dwarven?
It is not Noven Dor- nor... yeah, no.
Okay. I mean...
Is it Elvish? Can I...
I detect magic on it.
It is intensely magical.
Intensely magic.
Do our little magical shards have any effect on this sort of thing? Or
I don't know.
I whip out a shard.
You whip Shardy. Out a shard.
We all whip our shards out.
You guys.
We compare shard length.
I only bring out enough shard to win.
I pull my leaf skirt down for no reason.
Okay. The shards have no reaction.
I approach the book and see if I can read it.
I cling to it tightly.
Okay. We'll act it out then.
Don't be snatching my book.
Baby, I'm not. I don't want to snatch it. I'm just trying to help.
Well, look with your eyes, not with your hands.
Fine. I look with my eyes.
You look with your eyes. You see a book. It appears ancient and old, thick and musty.
Can I read the language?
You cannot read the language. I say we
take the book and find somebody who can speak this language. What are the exits available to us, Spencer?
Right now, you can only see a sphincter on the floor.
Yeah. Perfect spot to end, I think.
Yeah.
Looking
butthole
at a sphincter.
Cliffhanger.
Looking at a sphincter.
Thank you so much. Aaron McGathy, everyone. Swordmaster.
Aaron, are you selling merchandise out there?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Spencer and I will be selling merchandise downstairs. T-shirts, 1 for $15, 2 for $25. Free smiles, free hugs, lots of love. Stay true to yourself.
And depending on what time it is, I so far I have yet to be unable to stay until I've signed every single thing that people buy. So. Yeah. We may break that record here because we have to leave.
No, I say we're getting close to wrapping this thing up here.
Oh, of course. Well, that goes without saying. I mean, I don't want to talk about politics and religion for another 40 minutes. I just mean I don't know what time it is. It feels like we did a 4-hour show in a good way.
It's 9:10.
Chicken noodle dick.
Chicken noodle dick
in a can for you. There's a sip of some hearty broth, and your lips will froth at the taste of it, my friend. Chicken noodle dick. Chicken noodle dick.
It's nice and thick.
Let's sing the chicken noodle dick song. You guys, we didn't sing it in last night's show in, where were we? Kansas City?
Denver.
Denver.
We sang it in a lot.
It's all the same.
Here I am.
Ain't got a dick, got a chicken noodle can. All my life, I've been putting my can inside my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the river Jordan and feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. Soup to the bowl, bowl to the spoon, spoon to the mouth, you're gonna get well soon.
You gotta get some rest and sleep till noon. Grab a cup of coffee, then head to the saloon singing,
chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying,
chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day.
Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the river Jordan, feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Well, the wind blows south and come what may, my chicken noodle wife left me just the other day. There's not much else I can do but pray, my chicken noodle man, I gotta work all day.
Everybody,
chicken noodle God come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the river Jordan, feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Very spiritual in Salt Lake City. It's a town. It's a half Mormon, half secular town, half drunk, half sober. It makes for good mythology. It's like a battery is powerful because it has, like, you know, it's got opposing charges and they're trying to get to each other. You can turn that into an alarm clock waking you up for your job at Verizon.
Wait, what? That's the wrong one.
Yeah, but I should do some rapping. I should do some fucking hardcore rapping.
You want to do a little rapping?
I gotta. It's not because I want to. It's because they deserve it.
No. The people cry out for what they want.
Like I don't want to have to look anyone in the eye tonight that says, like, you didn't rap. I brought my daughter. You didn't rap. I don't know if you guys have been listening to the podcast, but I've been getting really good, and the bar can't be raised high enough.
Let's put your money where your mouth is, man.
I'm not afraid. Yo.
Yo.
So far, so good, man.
Yo. Yo. Went to a lake and its name was Salt. I fucked your mama real hard, but it wasn't my fault. She came onto me and it wasn't me. I told her, eat my doo-doo and drink my pee. And she did. So I fucked her. She did her part. I did mine. Your mama's so fine. I went down to meet her in the salt mine. Here in Utah, that's what they do. They dig deep and pull it out and give it to the world for truth.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Salt.
Turn that frown upside down.
Chloride.
He is yellow, poop is brown.
Sodium.
Turn that down to Harmontown.
A simple seasoning right on your table. But is it that simple, or did Cain slay Abel? It's a biblical town, but a different Bible. An Indian found a book. Is that liable to cause confusion? There's three books. Is your underwear going to get you dirty looks? If it's magical, don't be tragical. Just communicate like that chick did, and everyone will be fine, like a Fraggle. It kind of rhymed. One more time with the chorus. Come on down to Harmontown, Utah.
Turn that frown upside down.
Mama.
He's yellow, poop is brown.
Papa.
Come on down to Harmontown.
United States made of all different worlds. Boys and girls, going Christmas shopping. Fucked your mama so hard that her titties were slopping. Out of her shirt onto the floor, and I scooped him up and said, you need these and more. You need to take care of yourself. Be a good mother. Go home, raise all my sisters and brothers. Be a proud woman. Get a career. Don't keep fucking me, Dan Harmon, standing here.
Just the Mormons.
Come on down to Harmon.
Tabernacle.
Turn that frown upside down.
Even ex-Mormons.
Yellow poop is brown.
Ex-Mormons.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Fleeing from my Mormon faith. It was so constrictive I just had to escape. It was like Jehovah's Witness and Scientologists. I grew up under it and couldn't handle it. And everything your parents tell you, you gotta do the opposite. But every time you stand back, you might come back to it. Because it really doesn't matter what you pray to. It's all ghosts. It's just as relevant as what you put on your toast. Some people put jam. Some people put jelly. I listen to Tori Amos. Some people listen to Belly. They're both old bands from the 90s. You're all 25. I'm sorry that I dated myself.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Turn that frown upside.
You could have said R. Kelly. Right. Could have said R. Kelly. Could have said Nelly.
Jeff.
Yo, we had a good time tonight. We had a girl that was Mormon, came up on stair, and her hair was ghostly white. She had presumably white undergarments on to protect her from evil. I hope she doesn't get attacked by a boll weevil that eats up holes and lets in a pocket of sin. I know that Mormonism and the tabernacle is something I'd like to get in and check it out just for a while. I think that maybe Brigham Young could make me smile.
Come on down to Harmontown. Spencer's coming up, down the upside down. DM.
Yellow poop is brown.
Rap master down to Harmontown.
My name's Spencer and I'm on the mic. I used to play volleyball, so I know how to spike. We just came out here to Salt Lake City. It's the saltiest place to suck your mama's titty. It's a lot of fun to be up here, I admit. I think that you all should just submit to my will. Just start all listening to me, and everybody doesn't even have to be free. You're all my slaves.
Come on down to Harmontown. Thank you, Salt Lake City.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Poop is brown.
Thank you, Deuce, for coming up
here.
Craig, good luck with your job back in Wisconsin, or back in Los Angeles, right, and stuff. Talitha, our Mormon representative. Thank you, Wise Guys. Let's all go out, meet downstairs, get some merchandise, have a drink, and say hey. Oh, we can't have a drink. It's illegal here.
Thank you, Aaron McGathy.
Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon, everybody.
God bless you, whatever God that may be.
I'm gonna walk around with my beer in
don't
my
do it, Jeff. Don't do it.
I'm gonna walk to
oh
the green
God.
Room
He's like
with
Jesus
a beer
Christ.
In my hand.
Come on down to Harmontown. This is the sad part of the song. He is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down, Harmontown.